Thanks, Roland. Good morning. Well, this new speaker system really projects well. As Christians, we're called to grow. And if you turn in your Bibles to Galatians 5, we'll see what life in the Spirit is to be like. Start in verse 22, let's read. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. You know, over the years, I've preached about many of these, and it seems like goodness kind of gets neglected a little bit. So today, we're going to focus on goodness. And there's lots of opportunity for goodness. The cover shows us that we're created. We are made for goodness just as we are made to breathe. Now, who's made to breathe? Okay. Well, some of you don't. Okay. Well, after today, I want you to breathe and be made for goodness. We have much opportunity, and some of the prayer requests today kind of highlight those opportunities that we have to express goodness. Sometimes you hear the phrase, the good old days or the good life. Well, some people don't understand, really, what is the good life? Some people think it's physical. It's a hot bath and a great dinner and a drink to sit down and relax. Or some people think that the good life is material things. It's the mansion and the Corvette and the money. That's what you need to have the good life. No, that's not what God says. God says the good life is spiritual. And we just read the fruit of the Spirit. And one of those is goodness. Goodness is not a feeling good or looking good or owning good. It's being good and doing good. And we're going to focus on that today. And since it is a fruit of the Spirit, goodness only comes from God. We as people can try to be good, but without God, it's very difficult. It's really not something that man can manufacture or make happen. But God gives us that ability. Romans 3:12 says, there is none who does good, no, not one. People are not basically good. You might hear that at times like, well, they're a good person. Well, maybe, you know, what you see on the outside, it might look to be good. But really, on the inside, people are not good without God. Like Phil today, he shared how he talked to somebody about going to heaven. And I've talked to people about, they had that similar conversation. Are you going to heaven? And they want to tell me, yes, because I've been good. Well, God's word does not say if you act good, if you do your best to be good in life, then you get to go to heaven. That's not what it says in here. It says you need to believe and receive. Far too many people are thinking that they can get to heaven by just being good. Well, goodness is only possible with God. In fact, the word good really derived from God. I read that the old English Saxon word has the same connotation as God. It started with goodbye as an abbreviation of the Anglo-Saxon way of saying God be with you. Goodbye. Literally, it means to be like God. In Mark 10, it says that Jesus was called good teacher. What must I do to inherit eternal life? Why do you call me good? Jesus said, why do you call me good? And he had lived a perfect life. And yet he said, only God is good. Only God is good. Psalm 34, verse 8 says, taste and see that the Lord is good. Have you really grabbed hold of God to see that he is good and that he desires for us to have the good life, to be good? to share goodness with others. Romans 8:28. God works all things out together for good to those who love Him. Do you love Him? Do you find that God is working things out in your life for good? It looks like, oh, you're having a terrible day, but then all of a sudden you realize it happened for a reason. You were struggling, and then all of a sudden you could share that struggle with others and help somebody else. Or you went through an experience so that you could see better, more clearly, God's goodness in your life. God is good and His judgments are good. James 1:17, every good and perfect gift comes from above. If you're going to talk about good, you have to include God. Without God, there is no good. I heard on a, who has seen Do You Believe, the movie, Do You Believe? That's a good movie. I recommend everybody watch that movie. It's at the Senex station, and it was really good. But there's a part in there where I believe the group was called Atheist Humanism Association, maybe some made-up organization. And their mantra was, good without God. Well, how foolish is that? You can't have good without God. But it's a good movie still. Watch that movie, Do You Believe? That's the right title, isn't it? If you do, I think that's it. I'll find it for you. If you want to see a good movie, I'll go to Cenex with you and you can find that one. Micah 6:8 says, He has shown you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God? Three things. The first one, to do justly. Are you living a life of justness, right? Faith? We could call it fairness. Doing justly. I remember years ago when my kids were little and we'd give a gift and we'd try to be fair, and yet there's times when one would say, wow, that's not fair. They got this and I got that, and it's so hard to be fair. It's nearly impossible to live life fairly. But we can strive for that. We can be just and do what's right. John Wesley, the great preacher, said that he lived by one creed, and this is it. He said, do all the good you can, by all the means you can, in all the ways you can, in all the places you can, at all the times you can, to all the people you can, as long as you ever can. That's a mouthful. Basically, do good, always, to everybody. Just do it, like Nike says. It's important that you do justly, do the right thing. And realize that you might be the only Christian that some people come into contact with. You might be God's word alive, that they might never really see or read God's word. But they see your life. They see God's word in action. Are you speaking forth clearly? Are you shining like the scripture verse today? Are you letting your light shine so others see the goodness in your life? We must be careful in what we do and how we do it, or we could bring reproach and shame to God as Christians. We might be a stumbling block to others. God calls us to be wise in all that we do. People might see our lives and they might hear the gospel through our lives. They might get saved through our lives. And on the other hand, they might stumble and say, I don't want anything to do with Christianity because of what I see in their life. Don't be that person. Are you living a life that's clear, that's not blurred, so people can clearly see God's work in your life? Blaise Pascal, the great French philosopher, he made a powerful statement. He said, "Next to the might of God, the serene, silent beauty of a holy life is the most powerful influence in the world." A holy life, a life of goodness, a life that produces fairness. You might think that you're being good, but you're not doing a lot of good. Every action that you take can be important. I found a list of things that were kind of overwhelming to see at first. I have all the way back to 1776, it says, one vote gave America the English language instead of German. One vote. Praise God for that one vote. Does anybody know German? I love you, ich liebe dich. It's like, come on, that doesn't sound nice. Sorry to my German friend Toby, but I'm thankful we don't have German. In 1845, one vote brought Texas into the Union. Some of you might say, well, that's too bad, but it was one vote. One vote saved President Andrew Johnson from impeachment. Wow. The list goes on and on. One vote changed France from a monarchy to a republic. One vote. You know, you think, well, my one vote doesn't matter. I'm not going to waste my time going to vote. But it can matter. These were one vote that really mattered a lot. We're individuals, and we need to take a stand. And as a group, we can stand strong. But it takes everybody's vote, everybody's life of justness, of fairness. The second thing the good life promotes is forgiveness. The second thing in Micah 6:8, oh man, what is good and what does the Lord require of you but to do justly, to love mercy? You know, some of us, we love judgment more than mercy. You can see it in our actions, in our lives, which is too bad. We should really love mercy, especially when God is merciful to us. We need God's mercy in our lives. The Hebrew word hesed is one of the most beautiful words in the Old Testament. It's used over 250 times. And we translate it as mercy, but sometimes it's translated as grace, and sometimes as love, and sometimes loving kindness. It's really all of those things tied into one. English words cannot really grasp what it is. Mercy. It's more than just what we think of as mercy. It's love and loving kindness and grace, all tied up into one. There's something liberating about mercy, about goodness, about treating people well. Are you doing that? The lowliest, the littlest, the poorest, the neediest people, we are to treat them with kindness and grace. St. Augustine said, "He that is good is free, though he be a slave. He that is evil is a slave, though he be a king." Are you freed up because of the goodness that you express in your life? We all know that God is a merciful God. He desires that we would appreciate that mercy and share it with others. One example of mercy and goodness of God, we can see in lightning. You probably didn't expect me to say lightning. It can be a terrifying thing. It can be a wonderful thing. I appreciate it. I love to watch lightning. But when it's really close by, I don't really appreciate it as much. If it's hitting the tree next to me, it's like, whoa, God, you know, that's scary. But lightning is something that God created that we need. Now, if you think back to chemistry class, you know that we have a lot of oxygen and carbon in our bodies, but we have 3% nitrogen. And we can breathe the air, and there's nitrogen in the air, but we don't absorb it that way. God created a way for us to get nitrogen through lightning. Lightning causes nitrates to fall to the earth in the rain, and there's little bugs that change the nitrate into nitrite. And then animals eat it through the plant, or we eat the plants, or we eat the animals, and we get nitrogen that way. It's an amazing system that allows us to get the nitrogen that we need. God's mercy in the lightning bolt. The third thing, the good life is a life that produces faithfulness. I think faithfulness can be exhibited in many ways. And we can share with others when we serve them or we're giving. We give up our time, our money, our skills. As we serve the church, many people here, we have seen serve the church. And I'm thankful for the new speaker system. It works great. And Britt and Jordan had a vision to see it happen, and many people here contributed to that vision to help make it happen. Thank you. This church has seen many renovations over the years. When we first came in, there was a drop ceiling about 8 or 9 feet up, and you wouldn't recognize the building as it is today. In fact, today, as I walked into the restroom, I was thankful for the changes that had taken place. Now, that seems so little, but somebody had a vision to make the bathroom more comfortable, more friendly. And I was like, well, we don't need to do that. But now I appreciate it. And I won't say who it is, but she sits by Roland usually. And I'm thankful for her. And I know she doesn't want the praise, but too bad. God is full of examples of doing good, and you can see it here in the building. Examples of things that have happened here and in the lives of people. Faithfulness. Goodness is a matter of the heart. Jesus said in Matthew 12:35, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth goodness. He brings forth good things. And an evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things. What are you bringing forth in your life? What are you sharing with your neighbors, your friends, your family, your coworkers? Are you sharing the good things? Are you shining in your life? Goodness is partly a matter of what you know, partly of what you do, but mostly of who you are. Of what you are. Goodness is the fruit that you bear. It is the fruit of the Holy Spirit living in your life. Part of being faithful is being generous with our money, with our time. And we have needs in our congregation here. But we also have needs in the world around us. And recently, Wayne and I, we traveled over to the Philippines. And I kind of get choked up just talking about it because it really impacted my life. And I was able... Oh, what happened? That's the wrong one. Did I do something wrong? Okay. And I travel... Okay, you can see Wayne there. With the Harvest shirt. The guy next to him is Mike Bergen. He's in charge of the Philippines for our association, Great Commission Churches. He oversees the outreach to the Philippines. And I told him about a year ago, I said, our church is gifted in construction and in medical assistance. And we have a desire to help. Do you have any opportunities? And he said, well, yeah, I think I can figure something out. And so eventually he said, you guys should come to the Philippines with me. Wayne and I traveled over there. And we got to meet The two men on the left there, the first one there is Pastor Ed. He's a contractor, just like Wayne, and he knows how the construction works, and he's a key man for us there. The guy behind him is Pastor Herman, and he's the best interpreter that they have. So those are both key men. And we got to visit with them at length, and I went the wrong way, maybe. Maybe you'll have to go through the slides. Am I doing something wrong? Okay, so when I think of the Philippines, I think of a busy place. When you hop on this two-seater and it fills up like that, you know, it's got to be a little bit crazy there. Go ahead to the next one. And there's another example, the Jeeps, they fit more than six people. You get a ton of people on there. Okay, next one. And life is busy there. And they have a lot of people that are needy. And we want to help reach those needs. Okay. This is a street that Wayne and I, we stayed on that street. We're looking out, the place where we had breakfast. And it just is amazing, the needy people. Okay. The marketplace is full. You can see the people lined up with their umbrellas, selling stuff at the marketplace. It's just a busy place. Okay, next. This is the first church we visited. This is an older church. It's quite fancy, actually, in terms of the churches that we saw there. And a thriving congregation. We got to go to the church service there. It was a beautiful day, 94 degrees. And they told me I had to wear long pants. And I kind of got nervous because I don't handle the heat too well. And by the second service at the next church, it was probably 100 degrees inside there, don't you think, Wayne? Wayne was concerned that I was going to pass out. I had to walk outside and get some fresh air, a breeze out there. But this building is similar to what they desire us to build for them. And they rent this building for $6 each Sunday. It's crazy, but it's in rough shape. They could use a new building. There's another location. Next slide. Oh, here's inside that church. Pastor Mike is speaking, and there's another guy speaking. Deacon Wayne. And then the next slide. It's rough culture there. People are so needy. There's 20 million people in this city called Manila and the suburbs. And they live a tough life, many of them. Next one. But they're happy. And they need Jesus. Next slide. This is the type of building that we desire to fundraise for. And I asked my daughter to make some slides as we fundraise. Here's the inside on Easter. That's the same building. They have quite a congregation. There's another location that has a congregation but no building. And here's what the location looks like. And this is called the Quarry. And here at Harvest, we desire to raise money to build a church on that lot so the people can meet and they can reach out to the whole. This whole area is very hilly, low-income area, where there's a great need for people to hear about Jesus Christ and the gospel. And so the next slide. So I asked my daughter to make a slide that we could show on Sundays as we're fundraising. So this is our first slide. And there's no money raised yet. Next slide. Now when we get to 25%, it'll look like that. And when we get to 50%, it'll look like that. And then 75% of our need. And then when we complete this coloring in this church building, our needs will be met. We can send it over and they can build the church. Pastor Ed is going to oversee our project at the quarry. He's going to get all the men, the supplies, and make it happen. The cost is about $2,200 for supplies, about the same for the workers, which is quite low because you can hire a mason for $11 a day, a worker for $8 a day. It's amazing. So for about $4,500, we can accomplish this task. And it's my desire that we would do that as a congregation, that we could oversee the fundraising. And then you can see the church is now at the quarry. It's actually on the lot there. It's going to have to turn and fit into the landscape a little bit, but this is our goal, to get this church made so they can meet in a building, and we can say that we were a part of that. So over the coming weeks, as we do fundraising for the quarry, you'll know what we're talking about. You'll know the need there is great. And I believe we're in God's will in order to build this church there. There's many churches needed in that community, in the suburbs. But let's just do our part and get this one built. So I hope you're on board. I hope that that you see the great need there and that we can impact lives for good. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for this day. I thank you for the wisdom that you have for us in being good and in being wise. Help us to share with others the goodness that we enjoy. Help us to shine for you. We have been blessed with so much. Help us to share that with others. Help us to get this church built, Lord. We thank you for that. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.